This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station. The Health News Digest on the Bigger Picture. BFM 89.9.
Welcome back to Health News Digest with me, Tina, and sharing this. The first batch of contract pharmacists in government service whose contracts are ending soon are in the dark over their future. Some have received letters to confirm their permanent posts, but have not been told where they will be posted. Others have not even been given permanent posts. We know this because of an open letter to the Minister of Health by a disheartened contract pharmacist. The contract pharmacist says he or she waited a year and a half to be granted a training post in a state hospital. The two-year contract is ending soon, but this pharmacist has not received notice of employment. The letter also raises concerns over the lack of transparency in evaluation, unavailability of a feedback loop, voicing out is considered inka arahan, and inefficiencies within the ministry.
So earlier in the show, we asked whether any of you are contract pharmacists who are currently in this situation and to send us your thoughts and what you're going through. So we've got a message here on WhatsApp from one of the disheartened pharmacists. I'm guessing there are many of you out there who says, we have already submitted several appeal letters requesting the Ministry of Health to investigate and evaluate us again, but there was no response. Simple to say, they put the blame on other departments when we approach them. How long are they going to accuse each other when the entire system is at fault? So that's some pretty strong words there. What they are requesting is, as you mentioned earlier, more transparent evaluation techniques. Based on the contract, they were supposed to be evaluated twice, but the new government has only evaluated us once, and we can't even check our own marks. So how can we trust them when they are not following their own terms and conditions? And another request by this listener is to reassess those who failed to get a permanent job in the government, and that, you know, we are professionals and you should not throw us out whenever you wish to. So what's happening currently is that there are some 500 pharmacists who have received fully registered pharmacist licenses in their letters dated 30th of November. And this is the first batch of pharmacists who came in under the contract of service arrangement. Unfortunately, only 180 of them received permanent posts. So many others have been disappointed as they were not offered permanent positions or a guarantee that they would continue to be in government service. And these pharmacists will have another year of contract service as fully registered pharmacists. But after that, you know, because they've not been offered permanent positions, it's sort of up in the air what's going to happen to them. Let me just give you a bit of background on this another year of contract service. So basically the contract is for 2 years, but under that contract, what you do is pharmacists who graduate spend 1 year doing pre-registration training as provisionally registered pharmacists, or what they call PRPs. And so it is after that 1 year, they get their license. And if they're in government service, they have to do 1 year of mandatory service. This actually doesn't apply to all pharmacists. So unlike doctors, pharmacists don't have to do their mandatory service if they are not working in the government sector. If they already, if they did their training in the private sector, they don't have to do that 1 year of mandatory service.
All right. And just for the record, the contract service position grade UF41 was implemented in 2016 when the government decided to appoint pharmacists on contract of service basis to enable them to undergo graduate training and mandatory service before being registered by the Malaysian Pharmaceutical Board, or LFM, which is a prerequisite for them to practice in the private and government sectors.
The contract appointment was actually done because at the time there were insufficient permanent posts at the ministry to cater to the huge number of graduates, resulting in a very long waiting period for them to undergo graduate training and mandatory service. We spoke to the Malaysian Pharmaceutical Society President Amrahi Bin Buang to get some background on how the contract service came about.
So, in the government service, you can even have another way of employment. This is what we call as contract of service. This is actually also determined by SPA. In 2015, we have a problem where there's a government policy that freezes on new posts. So the post is, this permanent post is very limited. So contract of service is a new way of getting them in. And the process of hiring is still the same. The only flexibility is the fact that, you know, there must be a budget, but it comes from a different board of the budget. Okay? So, at the moment, we have these two way of becoming employees of the government.
We also asked Amrahi how many contract pharmacists there currently are in the country.
There are several batches they have taken. For example, in 2016, they take in about 500. And then in 2017, they take in three batches. It's about 1,000. And then in 2018, there's one batch that came in, that come in. It's about 800. So the total is about 2,500.
That was Amrahi Bin Buang, President of the Malaysian Pharmaceutical Society, on the contracts for pharmacists under the government service. So we're talking about actually a really big number of contract pharmacists.
I was left speechless for a moment there because I was doing some mental arithmetic of the number of pharmacists who
are... Because earlier we only heard about 500, but if you add up all the batches over the last 2 years, we're looking at over 2,000 who, if they're all going to end up in the same boat where either they're not guaranteed of permanent positions or perhaps if they are, they don't even know where they're going. You know, it's a pretty disgruntled profession out there, I think. So the Minister of Health, in responding to the open letter, said that the government is not obliged to absorb every pharmacist who has completed graduate training or mandatory training into the civil service. The ministry has decided to appoint only the best talents and based on the vacancy available as well. So we asked Amrahi again, does he agree with the minister on this?
I agree with the minister, and I agree with MOH. That we want the best of brains, okay, into the government service. So what they need to do to improve on what they should do to identify these people. I'm sure there's already a mechanism, meaning that they will go through a one-year training for the pre-registration. After that, then they have another year to do the compulsory service, right? So for the PRP, okay, they have a logbook. And they must pass, okay, for minimum 60%. The other one inside that training is basically to talk about personal competency, where marks are also given. That means personal assessment, where the preceptor will treat it. The other one is, as a contact officer of the government, okay, they have to go through the annual assessment. So there are three tools that have been used to evaluate them. But we have to understand, this involves a lot of people, okay? Both the preceptor as well as the pharmacist, okay? And it's across Malaysia. Situations are very different from, from a tertiary hospital like HKL or Institute Cancer Negara, or compared to a district. District hospital. There are also differences. If you do the training in hospital, and then you do your training in clinic kesehatan. Okay, and we are talking about different states and different districts. So all these are subjected to a lot of. It's a big challenge, to really go into it. So there is already a mechanism. Okay, so of course, those who are not able to pass through, of course, they will feel disappointed. Okay, so I'm sure the government will improve on this.
So that was, again, Amrahi Bin Buang, the president of the Malaysian Pharmaceutical Society. And he was explaining there sort of what are the factors that come into play when the Ministry of Health decides whether they can afford to absorb these contract pharmacists into permanent employment, and what is the process of assessing contract pharmacists before they can be selected for these permanent positions. As we heard, there's assessments on their performance, on their competency, And so previously, actually, before this contract pharmacy, contract of service arrangement came about, all pharmacists had to undergo mandatory service in the public sector, and all of them would be automatically absorbed regardless of competency. So mm-hmm. in a way, I do see that this is a way of sort of getting the best of the profession to serve in the government service. However, the writer of the open letter questions whether the assessment process is purely objective or whether, in words, air quotes here, bootlickers who are less competent are being awarded higher marks. And this pharmacist notes the lack of transparency in allowing pharmacists to review marks for logbooks and the lack of peer evaluation as part of the process. Well, you know, taking into account all these laments which they are going through, which is really very real, since the listener on WhatsApp also shared similar feedback, we asked Amrahi also what contract pharmacists who are affected by the current situation should do.
Number one, okay, now they have actually got the post, right? So they will be posted. As a government servant, you cannot question where you will be posted, because the needs are there. Sabah, Sarawak, you know, all this. We need all these people. If the government is going to run this service, they need the staff. You know, so we cannot be choosy and only going to go into certain states. I think it's still an administrative matter, okay, because it will take time. Once they got the place, it will be in the near future. I mean, they'll only say that, okay, they are now getting the post. Then I'm sure within 1 or 2 months, they will know where they will be posted. So not to worry. Not to worry. They're still working. They're still getting the salaries. So why are they complaining? The government didn't terminate the contract. So they're still in government service, even though they are not absorbed into the permanent post. They're still, and they have 1 year actually to sort their future. The good point about pharmacy is the fact that we are professionals. So if you don't have employment in the government, there's a lot of opportunities in the private.
So not to worry, Amrahi says, because there are lots of opportunities in the private sector. So I turn again to the WhatsApp message that we received. There were a couple more points in this message. One is that, are there any job opportunities enough in the private sector to accommodate those who failed to get permanent posts in the government sector? And this person says, we can always check in JobStreet, but there are only 5 to 10 vacancies for a pharmacist post, but, you know, up to 60 or 80 applications for each post. So how can the Ministry of Health say that we can always serve the private sector if we fail to get permanent posts in the Ministry of Health? And, you know, out of 507 pharmacists, only 160 have been chosen for government service, which is around 30% of the first batch. And with a total of 4 batches in a year, or maybe 4 batches over the last 2 years, if all those unlucky pharmacists are out looking for jobs in the private sector, can the government guarantee them a proper job?
Mm. And I mean, I'm quite surprised that so many of them want to continue to be in the public sector, because usually our perception is that, you know, get out of the public service as mm-hmm. soon as you can. But mm-hmm. these pharmacists are keen to serve in the public sector, and yet they're not getting a place where they want to be.
And in fact, in the open letter, the writer wrote that he or she was offered a job overseas, but chose to come back because they saw a need to serve here in Malaysia. So it would be very sad if their commitment it doesn't play out because simply they just can't get a job.
But as you were saying earlier, Sherwick, about how you know, perhaps the public sector is trying to improve the quality of the pharmacists in the public hospital, in the public setting. I mean, the pharmacy sector has undergone improvements to benefit the professionals. Previously, only public sector hospitals offered these PRP trainings that you're talking about. This year, PRP training premises underwent liberalization, so PRPs can undergo training at other institutions apart from public hospitals and clinics. And here's Amrahi again explaining where provisionally registered pharmacists can do their trainings.
between us and the doctors, we are very fortunate. You know why? Because we have a leeway to do our PRP in liberalized sectors. Liberalized sectors mean outside of the government, okay? Outside of MOH. So you can go into private, you can go into universities, you can go into industries, and so on and so forth. Right from the very beginning, unlike the doctors. Because the doctors must do in public sector.
Having said that, there are still many pharmacists out there who have their troubles. We've received one more WhatsApp message. I am one of the unlucky pharmacists who is unable to retain my position in the government service, which I believe is due to being misjudged or mistreated by the system. During my internship, I was actually diagnosed with depression and anxiety due to my marriage problems, and I ended up requesting for a transfer back to my hometown. This actually greatly affected my marks and eventually cost me my career. I feel like now I'm being punished with the uncertainty over my future just because I have a mental disorder. Clearly, the system has its own flaws.
Well, I mean, the problem is so real when we are hearing it from these pharmacists themselves,
yes.
Right?
So with every system, you know, if you have even the slightest weakness in the implementation, this is where people will suffer.
Mm.
You know, having said that, what can we do looking forward? Because this is the first batch of contract pharmacists, whether you want to call them teething problems or administrative flaws, the registration and training process needs to be improved. So Amrahi offers some suggestions on how we can move forward.
In terms of the PRP, there are two things that we can do. Number one, the PRP of 1 year actually can be part of the BPharm program in the universities. The other one that can be done is a common national competency exam. And after that, if they pass, they get registered, then they can go anywhere, in public or private.
Yep, so again, that was Amrahi talking about some ways that we could streamline the registration and training process for pharmacists so as to actually cut down on the one-year training period as well. Meanwhile, the author of the open letter laments that this is why brain drain is occurring in the country, because when they come back to serve, they're not given the opportunities to do so. We have Mohan on WhatsApp, who's got a different view. He says it's very unfair for these pharmacy graduates to be expected a job guarantee. They have already received paid training for 2 years. Job demands have to be determined by the market, so graduates have to improvise and be creative because that's what all the other graduates of other fields do. And,
he's got a point.
He's got a point.
But I think we should also consider that the public sector does need more hands on deck.
Yes, and if they are failing to get, I mean, we hear about the lack of human resources in certain areas, you know, where we don't have enough doctors, let's say, or it could be the case we don't have enough pharmacists in certain districts in the country. If it is just because of administrative flaws that these talents are not getting to the right areas, then that is very tragic. We also have Komuta, another contract pharmacist. I feel very unfair for us. We only get to know during our fourth year studies about this contract arrangement. We came into this field with full of dreams. Mm-hmm. And another WhatsApp message that has come in, who agrees with Mr. Amrahi and that the government sector needs the best brains. But he says, what are we? His statement is going to implement our future.
Mm. Well, I mean, there's good arguments on both sides.
Yes.
But I mean, we do need more pharmacists.
Yeah.
Let's be fair. I mean, every time I go to a pharmacy looking for one, I'm told that they're on a break or that it's their day off. Mm. You know, they're on this perpetual breaks and I can't get my drugs.
So. I also wanted to acknowledge the great work that they do in the public health service. Mm. Last week, we had a pharmacist from the Ministry of Health who came to talk about, medication tips for people who are victims of flood. floods and other disasters. And he was talking about how, when there's a flood and when residents are evacuated to an evacuation center, the Ministry of Health pharmacists actually go to that center and they try and get prescriptions from the flood victims, and they try and get their medical supplies for them. Sometimes that involves taking a boat back out to the nearest like district hospital again, taking a boat back to the... So, I mean...
They're like the grab food for drugs.
They really are.
I mean, they're the only ones, I suppose, with... they're the few people with the qualifications or the mandate to be, you know, carrying that amount of drugs from one place to another,
exactly.
Right?
And they're literally saving lives here because for many, let's say, if you're a patient with diabetes and you run out of your insulin, it's a matter of life and death there.
That's right, yeah. So I think we clearly want pharmacists to have an active frontline role in our healthcare delivery, regardless of whether it's in the public sector or the private sector. But let's hope that this issue will be resolved. I think the ministry is all ears.
I hope so. And also considering the Public Service Department, it also plays a role here in the provision of the permanent posts. So I hope there'll be better communication between all the agencies.
All right. I think that's where we'll leave it at. And that's all the time we have on Health News Digest. If you missed any part of the show, you can look up the podcast on our website, our app, or even on Spotify. I'm Tina Camellia.
I'm T. Shao-Ik.
On BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.